Coming up on Patriots This Week, in a city known for its chill, Buffalo fans brought the heat.
Tough place to play. It was a great win. Great to be 2-0.
After an off-season of controversy, the Patriots got their first taste of life on the road.
I don't care who we play. I'm probably betting that the whole league wants them to beat us.
It was a dominating effort against a coach and a team that seemed overhyped and underprepared.
Belichick outcoached me, no question about it.
We played hard as a team. We prepared hard. Got something to show for.
Now it's on to Jacksonville, a Jaguars team that is looking for its second upset in 2 weeks.
We got a good win under their belt and they look hungry.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Yet another example of being careful what you wish for. A week earlier, Bills fans were chanting, "We want Brady." Well, they got him last Sunday, and Tom Brady set a record against a Buffalo Bills defense with 466 yards passing, and the Patriots beat the Bills soundly by a 40-32 final. Hi, everyone. Welcome once again to Patriots This Week. Bob Soucy joined by my radio partner, former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak, and a three-time Super Bowl champion for the Pats, Matt Chatham. Guys, a lot of hype, and certainly a lot was said in the week that was from the Buffalo Bills, and they did not deliver.
Go ahead. You go first.
Okay, I'll start. So,
since you're the defensive-minded guy, because all we heard about last week was how great this defense was going to be, and the big thing was I love the starting lineups the way Buffalo did it. They ran out the down four like it was the steel curtain of the Pittsburgh Steelers of the mid-70s. Yeah. Introduced them together. They all had their helmets off. They held hands, and they ran out together. And then they got their butts kicked by a bunch of rookies up front. It was great.
I love the lead up to this week. We don't get this every week. I mean, I know people have sort of the issues with Rex. I get that. But it was fun. But he really dropped the bomb on this one, because when you walk in the game, as Zoe mentions it, this is going to be the front four game. Well, that was a bad call, because the front four never gets there. If you're going to go quick passing game, they're just too thin. So the things they did a week prior that worked for them just didn't apply here. So the other thing I liked is that, you know, Rex spent all week trying to goat Bill Belichick into not, or to using blunt, right? He wanted the game played sort of in the alleyway, and Bill didn't take that bait. So from just like a schematic point, we usually don't get much in the week leading up. We got two really big pieces of information that didn't play out on Sunday.
I thought the tempo was fantastic too. The game plan, you want to compliment Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady. Besides the one timeout early, the communication was fantastic. I mean, Brady's doing signals to Josh McDaniels, never got flustered, but they up-tempoed it and they stayed at the line of scrimmage, which I think tired the, I don't want to call them overweight, but they were overweight up front in the defensive line. I mean, Darius was his first game back. He didn't have football legs. He wasn't ready to go.
We're going to talk about the schematics, but you said Brady never got flustered. The Bills certainly did. With all the bravado coming out of Buffalo, it's a team that committed 15 penalties. One player in particular, Aaron Williams, had three personal fouls. They had three penalties on a single special teams play. Yeah. Buffalo lost its poise and composure early. The Patriots maintained theirs for the most part.
Well, I would look at taunting on an extra point. I've never seen that. Well, I mean, I've seen it, but it's so rare because
on a made extra point.
It's so silly. I mean, the point is, if you've had a big hit or there's some sort of argument in the middle of the field on a violent collision play, you get it, right? A competition on the outside for a ball, something like that. There's a pile. An extra point. I mean, at this point, watch extra points. Guys are just standing there. I mean, that's just really, really poor discipline. It's the kind of play where if I'm that coach and Rex, and apparently this isn't his way, but I'd pull the guy out. I mean, to me, that's just selfish, because then that just simply starts to snowball. Then you see more of them happen. You're looking at your watch going, good Lord, this thing's taken 7 hours, and it's because of the lack of discipline play.
I'm with him with the whole Rex Ryan thing. I think Rex is really good for the National Football League. Rex has been a head coach in this league for 7 years, and he still hasn't been able to channel or find a way to hone, you know, his enthusiasm and his over-the-top bravado, because I think it negatively affected his team. They came out, and you're so hyped, you're so amped up, that all you want to do is fight. You want to turn it into a rock fight. It's a football game. It's not a rock fight.
Bills came out, steamrolled to the early lead 7-0, drove downfield 80 yards. Patriots go 3-and-out, but then after Buffalo really makes another crucial mistake in special teams, the game turns. What were the adjustments made thereafter? Patriots getting good field position, scoring, and never looking back.
I thought Chandler Jones got upfield too much, and I thought they took him out of that game in that second series. They widened the tackles a little bit. And were you here during the Wildcat days?
Yeah.
Or no? Yeah. I mean, you see a little adjustment. You know, something looked so good in a package. Everybody thought, boy, the Wildcat was going to stay. And Bill figured out a way to combat that. Next thing you know, the Wildcat's out of the league. I'm not saying Buffalo's going to be out of the league, but you got fooled on misdirection. They weren't ready for it. They weren't staying at home. This happened in Minnesota a couple of years ago when Castle was there. They got gashed, you know, on that first drive with a heavy set fullback, and you weren't ready for it. But the adjustments made by Matt Patricia, and you got Jabal Sheard in the game, and I thought he started to penetrate. They were better, I thought, on the edge this week than they were against Pittsburgh.
Well, I love your Minnesota example from a year ago because they came out with low crossers. So everything's crossing. You're playing man coverage. Everyone's getting picked off. It doesn't work early.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. So you go back to the sideline and change it, and it's no big deal. I thought that was the real sort of asset that the Bills had going into this game, sort of the uncertainty of what they do. And because they'd shown so much in that Colts game, I give Greg Roman a lot of credit. That was a really well-orchestrated first drive.
Great first
drive.
But
once you come over, then they say, okay, here's what they're doing. Here's the exact correct sort of chess move off opposite it, and then not a big deal.
Meanwhile, Tom Brady in the pocket, 59 pass attempts, 3 touchdowns. Certainly, there were a couple of other balls that could have been caught in his performance, 38 for 59 overall. We mentioned the 466 yards passing.
Yeah, and I think it starts up front. You know, Tom had the ability to feel comfortable. And, you know, he could look the safety off, come back and hit Gronkowski right up that seam. You know, and his ability to get to that second level, you know, just that little extra hold by that, but not hold, but that little extra walling up front by that offensive line helped him. And there are 3 rookies up there, and they rotated him, and I thought they did a great job. Right.
You're watching sort of the portfolio of games this weekend. You got to see Luck. You got to see some of these other guys. They just don't do it the same way. The way Tommy will locate a blitzer, he'll locate an extra rusher, he'll locate a safety twist that doesn't look quite right. Something hits him, something sort of registers, he'll pull in the exact right guy to pick up the blitz and turn back.
So nice clapping. Hey, get my attention. That means that's new this year.
That means
clapping.
I figured it out. Yeah.
Hey, we're on the road. We're noise. Guys, attention. I'm changing everything here.
There were 2 incompletions on 4th down plays. Your thoughts on the play calls or the decisions to go for in those situations, both of which allowed Buffalo to get back into it?
I didn't mind the first one because there was still a lot of time left, excuse me, in the football game. And if you convert there, and I understood what they tried to do. They tried to slip Deion Lewis out into the flat. You hit that, he's going for 20, and you keep that drive. And that was really the nail in the coffin type drive. Second one, they got really greedy to go over top with it with the Edelman throw. I didn't like that call. I thought punt it away because I think there was, 4 minutes and change still on the clock at that time. Buffalo still had timeouts. And what happened? Both 4th-and-1s ended up in 7 points going the other way, and it got Buffalo mentally back in that game.
We talked about the 8 sacks by the defense, and while the Bills had a very productive 4th quarter, overall your impressions of the Patriots' performance on that side of the ball?
It was good, but it certainly wasn't great. I think, and you could kind of hear that in Coach Belichick's sort of answers in post, he talked a little bit about how the missed opportunities, the not keeping him in the pocket. I mean, you can have 8 sacks and still not have a great day. You can have 2 or 3 and have an exceptional day because you kept him in, hemmed him up, made him make other mistakes.
Coming up on Patriots This Week, surprises through the first 2 games of the NFL season, both pleasant and otherwise.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Danny Amendola. Now in his 4th season in New England, the 5'11", 190-pounder has become a major threat on punt returns. His 3 runbacks against the Bills amassed 39 yards, giving the offense terrific field position. But it was this remarkable catch that will be the standard to beat this season. Amendola admitted he was blinded by the sun, never saw the ball until it hit his hands. And after sticking the landing, he got a 10 from all the judges. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. We continue with Patriots This Week, and we turn our focus to the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning. Broncos come back, a thrilling Thursday win over Kansas City, but a lot to be concerned about with regards to Peyton Manning. Nonetheless, he engineers late-game heroics. And for the Broncos defense, very impressive thus far. Your thoughts about Denver?
Yeah, I'll start with Manning, and I'll let you handle the defensive end of this one. Let's look at just Peyton Manning. Something's not right there. Arm strength is down. Smarts are still there. And the ability, when things go awry, to somehow hang and find a way to win games is going to help Denver. Now, what the condition of Peyton Manning and what it is, and you know, based on age and the way he looks, I do not fear going into Denver anymore.
There's also no more Julius Thomas. There's no Wes Welker element. It's not Wes necessarily, but they don't have a guy winning on the inside
no
either.
Decker, no Wes. Yeah, you're right.
There are missing pieces, so it's not just all that dude. But I'll say this about Peyton. I think what we've learned is that the late season notion last year that this has become a run-first team, that's the only way they're going to get it done because you can't have them throw it 40 times. Here's a problem with that. From a defensive standpoint, if you're across them and the run play action's not real, you don't really believe it because they haven't had success with it, don't do it. You know what I mean? Because then you waste those plays. Then you put them back in drop-back plays later, and teams get after you, and it's really difficult to block. So if you don't have that, just put him in gun. Let him do hurry
if
up.
If Gary Kubiak rolls him out one more time to the left,
right.
He's got to be the biggest moron as a head coach. I mean, it's not working. Why take a guy when you know – when that game changed and they got down in the game, when did Manning look comfortable? When they put him in a gun to what he's talking about. Put him in a gun. That's what you're paying him the money for.
Right.
Post-Peyton Manning, you can go back to your corny offense.
Meanwhile, the team that trounced Denver in Super Bowl 48, the Seattle Seahawks, of course, NFC reigning champ, 0-2 after the loss at Green Bay.
Well, they got Jimmy Graham, but Jimmy Graham is a wide receiver, not a tight end. It's a misuse. I wrote on this leading into the game, and it more or less played out.
I'm with him. He's a bad pickup for him.
Well, it doesn't fit. Well, it fits if you just acknowledge he's a wide receiver and still play two tight ends, but he ain't one of them. So when he aligns, and if he's at one tight end spot, I know the run's not going that way.
They're using him like Jason Witten.
They will not run, at least with Witten, though, he'll be the point of attack occasionally.
But he can block, too.
Yeah, they won't run his way. If I'm middle linebacker, it ain't going that way. I know it's going that way. It cuts the run in half. It's so much easier.
I think
you guys
the best
are starting to sound like Marshawn Lynch's mother. I'm
sorry to call, but it's a high school offense that they run. And to go out and get these dynamic players like a Jimmy Graham, and you're paying Marshawn Lynch, what, $12 million to be a running back. The running back, I don't think, is as valuable. You look at these teams that are all 2-0 right now. What do they have? The quarterbacks that can hang in a pocket and throw. There are two other 0-2 teams, the Baltimore Ravens and the Indianapolis Colts, which we sit here and go double thumbs up because we all know what the Colts thought you did. And then Baltimore said, right, you know what? You know, maybe they should go check their rule books. And they used an interesting formation this past weekend, didn't they, Bob?
It was kind of a page from the Patriots playbook,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah.
Do you think it's karma? Are you with Zoe? Is it karma for those two teams right now?
It's karma for them. But I also look at the Colts beyond. I think people frame them as a surprise. It is not a surprise
to
me whatsoever. They are what they are. They're a bad defense, and Andrew Luck is a good but not great quarterback. He makes a lot of mistakes.
And Andre Johnson looks like Reggie Wayne did here in August.
Yeah.
That's not good for them.
Fair.
We take time out on Patriots this week. We continue with the alliteration game. Blake Bortles and the Jacksonville Jaguars next.
All right, here we are. We're sitting here. The Patriots are 2-0. They're playing Jacksonville this week. And you think, okay, we're going to look at the Zoe show and he's going to talk about Blake Bortles. No, I'm going to talk about Allen Robinson, his 6'3", wide receiver up top. Why? This is your Gronkowski play. Big body, slant route, little DB, nice spot to put the young quarterback to give him a nice target right between the numbers. Here we go. Take a look at him up top. Go ahead right here. Little play action to the backside. Watch right here. Watch him fight for the football. This is great coverage right here. I mean, we saw Malcolm Butler do this week one to Antonio Brown. Still caught the football. This kid's from Penn State, by the way. Stop it right there. Hold it for 1 second, please. You see the stack formation. What's that? The Patriots run this. All this means is one guy's going in, one's going out. Watch what he does to the safety. Go ahead and roll it. Little stick move down here. Whoop! Right by him. I mean, that's an easy throw when you're 5 yards behind a DB. So, if you're Malcolm Butler, find out where Allen Robinson is, and that's an easy one. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Upon return to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Patriots This Week continues with our look ahead to this Sunday's game in Foxborough. Jacksonville comes in 1-1. First time in a few years the Jaguars have had a September win. First time in a few years they've been at 500. They beat the Dolphins 23-20. They've got a young quarterback
right.
who showed
right.
really some strengths down the stretch in that particular game, Blake Bortles.
All right, let's start with tradition first of all. Now I'm going to reach forward. I'm going to disrupt the set. Folks, this is the ugliest helmet in the National Football League. I've looked at it. I've tried to say nice things. Now, maybe if you look at it from behind, you maybe have something here.
No, that's Greenpeace.
But, I mean, I think, you know, Jacksonville, to my point, is they're still trying to figure out what they are. You know, you got a new coach in Gus Bradley. We really don't know his philosophy. And this game, I think, early, you're going to have to try and fill them out the same way you felt out Buffalo. You make your adjustments, and then you roll. There's going to be some difficulty because of the uncertainty. They have some players. I like this kid, Allen Robinson, on the outside. He's a big kid.
Hackenberg and Billy.
Yep. 6 foot. Yeah. Hey, 6'3", 215. He's got some physical size to him. And where has this team struggled? With the big receivers on the outside. And if they find ways to get him opposite Malcolm Butler and put him on a guy like Bradley Fletcher and he's in the game, that's going to be problematic for us.
They changed offensive coordinators. Now in year three, Greg Olsen, who was with Oakland last year in week three against the Patriots, comes in as the play caller for Bortles with Robinson and other young, talented players at skill positions, including T.J. Yeldon, the former Alabama running back.
Yep, T.J. Yeldon, a physical runner, upright kind of guy. There's talent there. There's always talent there when you're bad because you get a draft high each and every year. Can they put it all together? And that's generally the question.
And they're also playing without one of their big free agent acquisitions, Julius Thomas, the tight end. Talking about the defense, though, under Gus Bradley, former defensive coordinator for Seattle. He's a high-energy guy, very positive guy. His team plays very hard. That's one of the comments Josh McDaniels, the Pats offensive coordinator, said about Bradley.
The best thing I think that could have happened to the Patriots is this team beat Miami last week. And people look at Miami that they're getting better. They're taking the next steps. They paid a lot of money for their defensive front. They got some pretty good corners. Watch this Robinson kid play. If you have a chance and you see some of the tape, you'll see some of the highlights this week. He scorched the Miami secondary. I think he had six catches for like 155. He was really, really good against Miami. So Belichick's going to take that tape and say, hey, guys, we know how good Miami is and how much we struggle with them at times. This team beat them, so don't take them lightly.
I mean, I love the Miami thing because, again, it sort of take you in the locker room, take you in the team meeting room with Bill. When there's teams that he knows that you know is the 32nd team in the league, you know, and that's not a disrespect to them, but just they're in an abyss down there where people don't know the names. You know, there aren't big personalities.
Bill knows you're human. He knows you're human.
He knows he's going to pull you down. Nothing could have been better than them to play a really close game. Put this aside. Say if the Patriots had beaten the Miami Dolphins 23-20 last week, that would be considered a good win, a solid win, you know, beat a division team that everyone had high expectations for. So all you look at, don't look at the logo, look at what they did and say, okay, this is someone we have to respect. Zoe gets into Allen Robinson, all these other guys that you now have to account for. I think that's important because we're third game here. You're starting to learn your own personnel. You mentioned Bradley Fletcher. I think we're in a situation where if you don't want him aligned across from a speed guy doing go routes, but there's a lot of stuff he can do well. So, you know, if for some reason you end up in that, you want it in a split safety situation.
You start bringing in Logan Ryan, too. I mean, they're guys you could start to rotate in more fine ways where Bradley Fletcher, you can use him to the benefit
of
what he did.
And now you'll understand their personnel and say, okay, there's a bad matchup, but this is a good matchup. It's great in the red zone. It's bad out in the field. Those kinds of things.
All right, the Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars coming up this Sunday at Gillette Stadium. Matt and Zoe will have their predictions right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Start Arizona quarterback Carson Palmer, the veteran of 13 seasons, has thrown for 7 touchdowns in 2 games. And this week, the Cards are home against a 49er defense that got lit up against the Steelers. Keep wideout Jordan Matthews on the bench. Eagles quarterback Sam Bradford has had no success running the offense. And Matthews would have a tough time against the revitalized secondary of the Jets in New York. The sleeper this week is Michael Crabtree. Oakland quarterback Derek Carr keeps looking for the Oakland receiver. With the Raiders' defense playing poorly, Crabtree should have plenty of chances. This week's Fantasy Update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Patriots This Week continues with predictions from Scott Zolak and Matt Chatham.
I'm thinking Patriots here, and actually a pretty competitive game in the first half. Break it open late, 31-17 Patriots. My player of the game, I think, is actually going to be Rob Gronkowski. I think they're in a situation where Gus Bradley has a chance to look at that tape. There's still no answer to how to do it. So I don't think he can overcommit because enough of the guys are showing up like Dobson and Edelman.
I think this is the scorched earth tour that we're looking at here. I have him 34-13. Player of the game is going to be Tom Brady again. I think his ability off the play action pass, look for LeGarrette Blount to get a little more into this game. Weather looks beautiful for this weekend. It's going to be nice for them to play a home game without weather. I like him big again in this game. Then we get to the bye.
And Tom's had two of his greatest performances, which is saying a lot against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, much different cast of Jags coming in at 1-1. But nonetheless, it's Brady and the Pats against that Jacksonville defense. For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks for joining us on Patriots This Week. We'll talk to you again next week. We'll be right back.
shotgun snap. Brady backs up in the pocket. Pressure from his right. Dobbs steps up. He scrambles right. He throws to the end zone. A sliding catch and a touchdown for Edelman.
We're going to talk about get excited on the road.
Brady takes the snap. Back up. Under rush. Throws it left side. One-on-one. The ball is going to be caught. Diving catch by Amendola. What a sensational play at the 17-yard line.